comes up? Is it everything your heart's desire? Hopefully it wasn't too eventful. How about for the children here?
For you, I see some thumbs up. The big question I have is, did you get something on your wish list? Some did. Did others get, did you get a few things on your wish list that you asked for? A few weeks ago, one of my daughters asked me, what do you want for Christmas? And I was kind of taken aback by the question. I have been so busy, you know, doing this school that I'm enrolled in, that I hadn't thought of what I wanted for Christmas. Now, I remember being younger and being the age of 10, and you can put up this picture of one very eventful Christmas morning where I received my number one on my wish list, which was a Ghostbuster proton pack. I don't know if you're familiar with the movies, but I don't think I even watched Ghostbusters, but I knew about them. I knew about all the characters, and I really wanted to have this proton pack, and my parents managed to purchase that for me, and I was so excited. When I grew older, I started thinking less about what I would get and more about how I might give the perfect gift to those that I loved. And this year was different. I gotta admit, I was kind of just more on autopilot than anything, and I tried my best to get a few things here and there when I could for Christmas. And to be honest, I was really looking forward to just the time off. And I was counting down the last days till I finished my semester at school. The final day of school arrived, and the very next day, we rushed away to Owen Sound. We drove up north. Every year, we travel to visit my side of the family. My mom lives in Owen Sound, on this small farm that I was raised. And holiday meals were eaten, and presents were opened, and Christmas came. And now that Christmas is over, I thought of that question that one of my daughters asked. Did I get what I wanted for Christmas? I was certainly surprised by the many thoughtful gifts that I was given. One of them I'm actually wearing is, I don't know if you can see it from here, but I'm wearing these funky socks with soccer players on them. I got a pair of gloves from my mom, some tasty infused olive oil that I've often looked at the market, which my wife purchased for me, and some maple syrup from my in-laws. I can say that yes, I did. I did get what I wanted for Christmas. I can tell you the exact moment that it arrived. It came at a worship service 1 week ago. It happened when I was sitting in the pews at a church that I grew up in, at a candlelight service. The worship service was packed with special readings and all the carols. And similar to other candlelight services, the climactic moment came at the very end with the singing of Silent Night in the darkened church. And we had these little LED candles, so no chance of burning the church down. At First Baptist, we don't worry about that. We'll take our chances. If you were here at our candlelight, we had a very attentive person that actually walked around Joe, making sure all the candles were properly cared for. But on that evening, we were waving our LED candles in this darkened church. And of course, the nativity characters played by children, Mary, Joseph, the angels, the shepherds, all were at the front of the church. And somehow, again, it happened to me that the singing of this song, Silent Night, provoked a deep stirring of emotion. The carol Silent Night describes this serene peace with all the shepherds, animals, angels, wise men gathered around. This esteemed nativity scene is a much beloved portrait of a family that's surrounded by community near and far. And the child that is safely born into the world, which on any regular birth is a miracle, is also heightened by the significance of this baby boy. And he is recognized for who he really is. If only we could stay in that peaceful moment. As we look back on this past year of 2025, it's been anything but peaceful for a lot of the world. Here in our own country, we've had to think about our neighbors, our president to the south, threatening to annex our country. There's, of course, the ongoing war in Ukraine, where rockets we hear about are hitting apartment buildings with people living in them, and the devastation of the war in Gaza with unbearable suffering, where it's estimated that 70 to 80% of all buildings have been turned to rubble, which just expresses an unimaginable amount of destruction. Sudan has been locked in a civil war between two military strongmen that seem to have no regard for human life. And all of these conflicts and others have forced people from their homes and country. It's an all too familiar story of refugees that we read about today in our passage from Matthew. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were running away from the violent King Herod. They were refugees. Herod was the king of the Roman Judea, and he intended to remain so. The history records that Herod executed one of his wives and two of his sons because he thought they were out to get him. And a joke at the time was, it was more safe to be one of Herod's dogs than to be a son in his court. Herod was willing to use every ounce of his power to protect him and eliminate his rivals. And when the Magi spoke of a newborn king that was being born, Jesus became a threat, and a plot was emerged. Just to be sure, everything that Herod did was not bad, not all bad. He was after the one that expanded the temple to its glory and height in 40 CE. But still, for all of his efforts rebuilding the temple and other building projects that he had embarked on, they did not win him the respect of the people that he governed, then or now. According to the Gospel of Matthew, Herod is more well known for his villainous plot to remove any potential rivals to the throne. And this reminds me of another story of a villainous queen from Disney's Snow White. Now, we don't watch too many of the older Disney films in our family because, frankly, they're too scary for our kids. And I don't know if you've watched this one, but if you have, the queen of the land looks into the mirror every night and she says, "Mirror, mirror, on the wall, who is the fairest of them all?" And the mirror answers her, "You are the fairest of them all." Until one day, it isn't. It says, "Snow White is the fairest of them all." And not being the fairest enrages the queen, to the point where the queen makes a plan to kill Snow White. She commands her huntsman to go and find Snow White, kill her, and bring her back her heart. How terrifying is this? All because she is more beautiful than her. Fortunately, the husband will not participate in this, and Snow White is saved. And in this passage we read this morning, Herod is like this villain from a Disney film. Only more so, Herod orders not the killing of one, but the killing of many. The killing of all the baby boys in Bethlehem. Because, like the queen, he's jealous and afraid. He's afraid that one of these boys will raise up against him and become a rival to his throne. It's an insane thing to think about, that someone would do this. But that's what happens when powerful people get paranoid. We're going to look at this parts of this passage and imagine that suddenly, let's imagine that suddenly you have become aware of a very real danger of Herod's soldiers coming for you and your family. The passage is, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. You can feel the immediacy that was necessary in that dangerous moment. This is the second time that Joseph has been visited by an angel. The first time Joseph was visited by an angel, he's told to take Mary as his wife. And when and how he did that marriage is kind of up to him, I guess. It's not as time sensitive as what happens in this case. When the angel appeared to Joseph for a second time, he could not wait. It says that the whole family left in the middle of the night for Egypt. And this is the part of this Christmas story, the Christmas on the run, that really contrasts the peaceful kind of Christmas that we deeply dream about. I don't think there's many songs written about this part of the story. If there is, I'm not aware of any. It's an uncomfortable moment. I'm sure Joseph was deeply unsettled waking up Mary and telling her that they would have to leave, not for home, but for Egypt, another country altogether. Try to think of what that would have been like. I first think of all the people that this past year that lived in the path of out-of-control firestorms. And those that realized the necessity of the situation quickly packed up their belongings and left and drove to a safe place. And by leaving their homes, they became what has been called climate refugees. And we heard stories about some that refused to go. They could not bear to leave behind their homes. Would I be able to do like Joseph and move to a strange land if the situation required it? Pack up my things and leave everything behind? I think of my grandparents who were teenagers when Germany attacked the Netherlands during the Second World War. During the invasion of the Netherlands, the Nazi Air Force completely destroyed parts of Holland. Rotterdam, the city, was hit especially hard. The whole center of the historic city that dated back to the Middle Ages was destroyed by hundreds of bombs that caused a firestorm. After the Second World War, my grandparents and some of their siblings decided to leave the ruins of Holland and travel to Canada to start their lives. And this is a story that many in our congregation know well, because it's your story. You also left behind your homes to come here as refugees. Like other refugees, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus fled to Egypt to escape violence. And they left trusting that God was guiding them there to keep them safe. Now, Matthew records very little of this stay in Egypt, because what matters most is the significance of Jesus coming back to return from Judea. And we read again in Matthew 2, verse 15, how the gospel writer connects this journey back to an important prophecy. And so it was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Now that verse may not have any particular meaning for you or for me, but every Jewish reader of Matthew would have recognized this reference from Hosea 11, verse 1. And Matthew here is drawing from a much beloved passage that speaks of God's fatherly love for the Jewish people. By making this reference to Hosea, every Jewish reader would have fondly remembered all the times throughout their history that God had saved them from the depths of slavery in Egypt, from exile in Babylon, hope renewed in God's time and time again. For Matthew, this is not just a story of a family fleeing a massacre. This is a story with a hope of liberation, the hope of freedom. Jesus' story is different from most refugees' stories. He and his family leave, and then the improbable happens. He returns. It's the return of the true king. And unlike Herod, Jesus is a king that loves people selflessly. Jesus, the true king, returns to Judea to free the people from slavery and oppression by giving himself over to them in love. So what does this passage mean for us? As we enter into the new year, I think we cannot know what to expect. Will this be the year for new scientific breakthrough that changes our lives? Will there be more political upheaval and surprises? Will there be spiritual revival? Perhaps all of the above. No one knows what will happen. But if I had to predict the future, I would say that there's more turbulence on the way. But the good news is that we are not without our captain and our guide. After Christmas was all over, and it came to Boxing Day evening, and our girls were all in bed, I got the chance to sit down and play my guitar. I sat down and started playing one of my favorite worship songs from this past year. And suddenly, all the anxiety that I had been feeling this past season went away. I had the same sense of peace that I experienced that night singing Silent Night at the candlelight service. I realized that this is what I wanted for Christmas. What I received in worship, what we receive in worship, is a gift of a compass for our heart. Where we will go this year depends on where we are being led. We can be led in so many ways. We can be led by fear and anxiety by King Herod, or we can be led, like Joseph and Mary, by an angel in the night. So who will you let guide you? Let God, this year, be our guide to safety, peace, and love. And let us continue to worship the true King, the one who knows us, who protects us, and calls us his own. Let's pray together. This morning, God, we marvel at the story of you traveling with your family as a refugee to a foreign land to seek safety. And we consider the ways that we are being directed by you to find safety, security, a sense of peace. Let us never forget that we come here to worship And worship is where we will find our direction. For with our ears open to hearing your word, we can make no misstep. Let us find these quiet moments where we can worship you with our whole heart. And let us accept you as our leader in all things. Join me now in a congregational prayer. God of all nations, bring peace where there is conflict, unity where there is division, and hope where there is despair. Guide our leaders and inspire us to be peacemakers in our daily life. Loving healer, surround those who are ill, weary, or in pain with your comfort. Strengthen their bodies, calm their minds, and fill their hearts with your peace. Merciful God, protect the poor, the hungry, the displaced, and the forgotten. Stir in our hearts to act with compassion and justice, reflecting your love in all that we do. Amen.